nominations are routinely aligned because of the fixation of the assemblage point on one specific spot. That is all there is to our world. The soundness of the world is not the mirage, he continued. The mirage is the fixation of the assemblage point on any spot. When seers shift their assemblage points, they are not confronted with an illusion. They are confronted with another world. That new world is as real as the one we are watching now, but the new fixation of their assemblage points, which produces that new world, is as much of a mirage as the old fixation. Take yourself, for example. You are now in a state of heightened awareness. Whatever you are capable of doing in such a state is not an illusion. It is as real as the world you will face tomorrow in your daily life. And yet tomorrow, the world you are witnessing now won't exist. It exists only when your assemblage point moves to the particular spot where you are now. He added that the task warriors are faced with, after they finish their training, is one of integration. In the course of training, warriors, especially Nagual men, are made to shift to as many individual spots as possible. He said that in my case I had moved to countless positions that I would have to integrate someday into a coherent whole. For instance, if you would shift your assemblage point to a specific position, you'd remember who that lady is, he continued with a strange smile. Your assemblage point has been at that spot hundreds of times. It should be the easiest thing for you to integrate it. As though my recollection depended on his suggestion, I began to have vague memories, feelings of sorts. There was a feeling of boundless affection that seemed to attract me. A most pleasant sweetness filled the air, exactly as if someone had just come up from behind me and poured that scent over me. I even turned around, and then I remembered. She was Carol, the Nagual woman. I had been with her only the day before. How could I have forgotten her? I had an indescribable moment in which I think all the feelings of my psychological repertory ran through my mind. Was it possible, I asked myself, that I had woken up in her house in Tucson, Arizona, 2,000 miles away? And are each of the instances of heightened awareness so isolated that one cannot remember them? Don Juan came to my side and put his arm on my shoulder. He said that he knew exactly how I felt. His benefactor had made him go through a similar experience. And just as he himself was now trying to do with me, his benefactor had tried to do with him. Soothe with words. He had appreciated his benefactor's attempt, but he doubted then, as he doubted now, that there is a way to soothe anyone who realizes the journey of the dreaming body. There was no doubt in my mind now. Something in me had traveled the distance between the cities of Oaxaca, Mexico, and Tucson, Arizona. I felt a strange relief, as if I had been purged of guilt at long last. During the years I had spent with Don Juan, I had had lapses of continuity in my memory. My being in Tucson with him on that day was one of those lapses. I remembered not being able to recall how I had gotten to Tucson. I didn't pay any attention to it, however. I thought the lapse was the result of my activities with Don Juan. He was always very careful not to arouse my rational suspicions in states of normal awareness. But if suspicions were unavoidable, he always curtly explained them away by suggesting that the nature of our activities fostered serious disparities of memory. I told Don Juan that since both of us had ended up that day in the same place, I wondered whether it was possible for two or more people to wake up at the same dreaming position. Of course, he said. That's the way the old Toltec sorcerers took off into the unknown, in packs. They followed one another. There is no way of knowing how one follows someone else. It's just done. The dreaming body just does it. The presence of another dreamer spurs it to do it. That day, you pulled me with you, and I followed because I wanted to be with you. I had so many questions to ask him, but every one of them seemed superfluous. How is it possible that I didn't remember the Nagual woman? I muttered, and a horrible anguish and longing gripped me. I was trying not to feel sad anymore, but suddenly sadness ripped through me like pain. You still don't remember her, he said. Only when your assemblage point shifts can you recollect her. She is like a phantom to you, and so are you to her. You've seen her once while you were in normal awareness, but she's never seen you in her normal awareness. To her, you are as much a personage as she is to you. With the difference that you may wake up someday and integrate it all. You may have enough time to do that, but she won't. Her time here is short. I felt like protesting a terrible injustice. I mentally prepared a barrage of objections, but I never voiced them. Don Juan's smile was beaming. His eyes shone with sheer glee and mischief. I had the sensation that he was waiting for my statements because he knew what I was going to say, and that sensation stopped me. Or rather, I didn't say anything because my assemblage point had again moved by itself, and I knew then that the Nagual woman could not be pitied for not having time, nor could I rejoice for having it. Don Juan was reading me like a book. He urged me to finish my realization and voice the reason for not feeling sorry or for not rejoicing. I felt, for an instant, that I knew why, but then I lost the thread. The excitation of having time is equal to the excitation of not having it, he said. It's all the same. To feel sad is not the same as feeling sorry, I said. And I feel terribly sad. Who cares about sadness? He said. Think only of the mysteries. Mystery is all that matters. We are living beings. We have to die and relinquish our awareness. But if we could change just a tinge of that, what mysteries must await us? What mysteries? Chapter 18. Breaking the Barrier of Perception. In the late afternoon, still in Oaxaca, Don Juan and I strolled around the square leisurely. As we approached his favorite bench, the